are listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast back again. We were getting back to our normal twice a week recruiting schedule. It is Thursday, March. What the hell date is it? It's Thursday, March 11th. And as always, I'm joined by my boy, my co-host and producer, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, week's almost over. Talking again. How are we? How you feeling?
Pumped for the weekend. Pumped that we were able to do two shows this week.
Yeah, it feels like the good old days.
It does feel like the good old days.
Yeah, no days like no school like the old school.
That's true.
How's good life? Too.
Life is good, dude. Life is good. The day job is all up in my business. So I don't know. It's keeping me busy. But you know what? I'm pumped to be talking some Canes again.
I wish I could say I've been equally as busy, but honestly, like yesterday, I started a free week on Peacock.
Yeah.
Do you have Peacock?
Is that the NBC streaming service?
I believe so.
Okay, I do not have it.
Okay.
All right. I actually don't pay for any. I just mooch off of everybody's streaming services. Oh, so.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it. I'm not on Netflix anymore, so I got Peacock.
Mm.
Yeah, but it has The Office and it has Modern Family. So I have been watching so much Office. It's sick.
It's good. It's good for you.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. Okay, so some Canes news. We lost a commit last night. So that's good. Jamal Johnson decommitted from Miami, 3-star defensive end, I believe. We only have one guy committed in the class of 22 right now. I'm not worried because we should have Ja'Kari Brown here on the 26th. And then we have some more guys that follow. But are you kind of surprised we only have one guy committed?
Yeah. You know, like when I read that and it said, you know, 2022, I was thinking, oh, that's two cycles away. But then my brain... You know, it's just because my brain doesn't know where time is right now. And that's, I mean, we're signing those guys in a year. So that's not good. That's not good at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry yet. Like if it's like June or July and we're still like low on numbers, then I may worry a little bit. But I've heard a few different rumors like Jess Simpson like wants bigger guys on the line. So
yeah,
I'm going to wait and see because we're talking to a bunch of recruits. I feel like a kid is offered by Miami every minute.
Yeah. Well, and this is actually a good thing to talk about first before we get into the defense is the Fours Up account posted that screenshot of Manny saying that, you know, we'll take up to five transfer portal kids right now and, you know, pull them from the 2022 class. So I could be wrong, you know, I'm not giving a definitive opinion or a prediction or whatever, but let's just like add up some of these points that are somewhat related. And we don't have anyone, you know, we have one kid committed for 2022. We're willing to take up to five scholarships away from that class anyways. And the fact that we're stealing from the future, like we've talked about that on this show, and that me saying that like this is a dangerous cycle to get in, right? If you're always stealing scholarships from the future, at some point like that could be a cycle that backfires on you.
No, absolutely. Especially if some of those transfer portal guys end up like a Jalen Phillips or they're like a Quincy Roche and they're just one and done, as opposed to you're getting a kid in the actual recruiting cycle who will be there for 3 to 4 years.
Yes. And so, you know, I don't think these points and the way that they interact with each other, I don't think it spells immediate doom and gloom. But kind of what it feels like a little bit is the general manager, like I'm going to make an NBA reference here and say, it feels a little bit like when the Houston Rockets traded Chris Paul and some draft picks for Russell Westbrook, right? That was a move that it was like, unloading a whole bunch of stuff and not really caring about the future because you're not sure if you're going to be there in a few years.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, and it's kind of the be reckless right now because you're trying to save your job, and if it goes south, you're going to get fired anyways.
That's it's clear from that quote that Manny is in the win now.
Yeah. And like,
he understands that 2021, he has to get to Charlotte or the goddamn ice cream truck is passing right now.
God. Do we need to pause? Do we need to pause?
No.
I was going to say, you can run out there, Marsh, and get yourself a...
Taco.
Yeah, a SpongeBob popsicle with the gumball eyes.
I used to love those.
Those were the best.
So good.
Yeah.
Thank God he moved. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, he understands that. I mean, he's just trying to add talent for this year so that he can win this year. Because, yeah, like I was saying, he understands that if he does not get to Charlotte this year, I mean, UNC, they still have Sam Howell, but they lost Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, and their receivers, linebackers. Virginia Tech is going to be, you know, Virginia Tech. But on paper, we say this every year, on paper, Miami should win the Coastal. And if Manny realizes if he does not do that, then he's already on the hot seat for me. His seat is his ass is about to be on fire if he does not get to Charlotte.
Yeah. And I mean, I do agree. He's behaving like a coach who feels like he's on the hot seat. So
not talking, like he's not tweeting anymore. It is so different from the Manny Diaz we saw 2 years ago.
Yes. And that, you know, I think winning big this year could help him. However, I don't know, man. We've had some good recruiting classes, so it wouldn't be as bad as if De'Aaron King would have left. If De'Aaron King left this last offseason and we didn't have him for this year, we'd be in a lot of trouble. Probably a 500 or maybe even a losing season, in my opinion.
You'd also have to think that if De'Aaron King left, they would have gone and gotten another quarterback from the transfer portal, probably.
You're right.
He would have had to. I mean, I love TVD. I think Van Dyke is going to be really good here. But, I mean, you can't throw him out as a redshirt freshman and expect to go win 9 or 10 games.
Yeah.
In a must-win season.
That's a good point. So that would change things depending on the quarterback position there. But, you know, when De'Aaron King leaves, we're really banking on Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, thankfully at that point, I think next year you can anticipate that our offensive line, you know, we'll have a much more talented offensive line next year. A lot of guys will have gotten experience. We'll have a lot of blue chip recruits that are, you know, ready to play. So that's good. So I don't want to make it sound like there's impending doom on the program, but it's certainly a possibility. I think we should brace ourselves for the possibility of a hangover season after this year.
Yeah, it's hard because right now, like this past class was so great, and honestly, the 2020 class was really good as well. It's just that question mark after De'Aaron King. Like, are you gonna go get another quarterback from the portal? Like, how many kids are you gonna bring in for this class? And you know, who are you bringing in from the portal this year that can also? It's a very much a 1 year kind of plan that Manny has right now.
Agreed.
His chips are in it for this year.
Yeah, and you know, like if you look at the receiving core, we have no underclassmen that have proven anything yet. So that is a big question mark right now. Is you know, after De'Aaron King, we're looking at a bunch of guys that you know they may or may not have been highly recruited and highly rated, but guess what? Nobody's proven anything in the wide receiver room. So,
we'll be in the kind of the same position because our upperclassmen, besides Mike Harley, haven't done anything either.
Yeah, and so you know, but you feel a lot better about that when you have De'Aaron King at quarterback rather than a first time starter, right?
Very true. Well, and you think that a guy like Charleston Rambo will probably be back for next year unless he goes off.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I hope.
Let's hope, man. Let's hope. I mean, I'm banking on him being that number two guy, like a consistent number two guy. I really hope that him and Harley can – and Mallory can carry the load. But, I mean, you also have to think – because after we talked the other day about the offense, how important – I mean, we talked about Van Dyke getting a lot of meaningful snaps this year, but how important is it to get a guy like Keyshawn Smith a ton of reps this year? And, like, guys like – yeah. Can Jeremiah Payton finally wake up and do something? Like, because next year, they're the guys.
Yeah, that's actually terrifying. You know, if Charleston Rambo's gone, think about what our starting rotation at wide receiver looks like next year. It's Keyshawn Smith and Jeremiah Payton and
someone else.
Yeah, who? Xavier Restrepo? Like, we have no freaking idea who it's going to be, man. And that's worrisome. Yeah, you have to think it'll probably be Michael Redding.
I'm excited about him, man. I really, really want him to do well. Because Redding, that dude has so much talent.
Yeah, he does.
I think he caught a touchdown last year in the FSU game, but I mean, it was like garbage time. But yeah. he's got talent, man. There's no denying that. This year will tell us a lot about our receivers. But
it's true.
But today we are talking about the defense, and obviously the Canes defense took a step back last year compared to been in years past. But Blake Baker is gone. Mike Grump is now gone as cornerbacks coach. We got DeMarcus Van Dyke coaching the cornerbacks. T-Rob, defensive backs. Ishmael. How do you say his last name?
Aris Tide, I think. Is that right?
Asteroid.
I don't know.
And then Manny Diaz is also going to be helping there. And also Jess Simpson, who I could not be – I'm so excited that Jess Simpson is back. Not that Todd Stroud didn't do a great job. He did a phenomenal job when you look at what Greg Rousseau did, what Jalen Phillips did, and Quincy Roche did. Yep. But I'm very, very excited for Jess Simpson to be back coaching the defensive line. Yeah. And defensive line, let's start off with these guys. So obviously Rousseau's gone, Phillips is gone, and Roche's gone. That leaves a gaping hole at defensive ends. So right now, D ends, we're looking at newly converted D end, Zach McLeod. I think you all know how we feel about that situation. He's back for a 17th year at the University of Miami. We have DeAndre Johnson, who just transferred over from Tennessee. I think I haven't studied him too much, but it looks like he can come in and be an average defensive end. I'm not expecting him to carry the load. But you also have Cameron Williams, Chance Williams, and then really the headliner of this group, in my opinion, and the guy that I'm most excited to watch is Jafari Harvey. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, same. I think Harvey is the guy with the most talent, the most upside in that whole group. We said it before last year that we kind of expected him to have a breakout, and he wasn't horrible, but, you know, I don't think he popped as much as we would have liked him to. I think the guy who was more of a breakout player was Cam Williams. But I do think Harvey has the most upside in the whole unit. And actually, if I'm allowed to soapbox for a moment, I feel like it is my calling right now in life to warn people against the idea that we're going to have an elite defensive line again. I've heard multiple people in Canes Twitter, the Canes Twitter sphere, say that, like, yeah, we lost Roche and Phillips, but we lost Rousseau the year before. So, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of, that is so not the situation coming back. You know, we aren't graduating. That's from
very fair to say.
Yeah, we're not graduating from Greg Rousseau to the top returning sacks leader and the former number one recruit overall. It's not happening this time. You know, we're graduating from two first round picks and a second round pick to this time we're having an average defensive end at Tennessee and a guy who moved from linebacker because, you know, he just couldn't cut it there last year. And then also, you know, Jafari Harvey and Cam Williams, who are talented but unproven. So there is a huge drop off. This is nothing like the you know, like the situation that we had last offseason at defensive line. So no. I'm not expecting this unit to be elite.
It's definitely the last 2 years we've really just we didn't have to worry about the defensive ends. I mean, we had Rousseau, Jonathan Garvin the first year, and then you had last year, even when Rousseau, opted out, we still had Phillips and Roche, and they did obviously a really good job.
Yep.
We just have that question mark, man. And so I think a big question, like the biggest question surrounding this, the defensive ends, is whether or not Jafari Harvey takes the next step. He's only a redshirt sophomore, I believe. But if there's one thing that we learned from Jess Simpson's 1 year here, it's that he can take those younger players and elevate their games. I mean, he did a great job with Jonathan Garvin and also Joe Jackson. And so
yeah,
my two defensive ends starting, I have I'm gonna say Harvey and DeAndre Johnson, and then behind them, I'm going to put Cam Williams and Zach McLeod.
Yeah, I would. You know, I'm kind of toying with the idea of Harvey and McLeod starting.
Okay.
I really didn't mind what I saw from Zach in the bowl game. And then, you know, we interviewed him on Cane Gang Radio, and he was telling us how, you know, he was underweight and that he only got one day reps leading up to the bowl game at defensive ends. I have, you know, mentally in my own mind, I have the door open for him to actually be a pretty decent defensive end. I think that's a possibility. Yep. So I would have Johnson or McLeod starting opposite Harvey. And then, you know, I like Cam Williams a lot too.
And I'm also excited to see if Chance Williams does anything as well this year. Chance Williams is a guy out of Oakleaf High School. I think he's very, very talented. He has the speed that a, you know, good pass rusher has. And so I think he's definitely a guy to look at and watch. Defensive tackle, we got your boy, Nesta Silvera.
My guy.
Yeah, your guy. Jared Hunt is back, and also Ford is back. Then you got a bunch of other guys like Elijah Roberts, who a lot of people are excited about, Jalar Hawley, and you got Quentin Williams as well. Is the defensive tackle, or is it a little thin? Looking at the depth chart right now, a lot of people say that it's deep and everything. I don't know if it's deep.
Our fan base has a problem with
expectations.
Yes. I mean, it's not a sure thing to expect a talented high school prospect to come in and immediately produce at the college level, right? I tend to, you know what I mean? It's important to keep in mind what they did in high school, but it doesn't automatically translate.
Are you talking about Leonard Taylor?
Yes. Yes. And other guys too, you know, like, yeah, maybe Leonard Taylor will show out as a freshman, but you know what? Probably not. Like, history says that true freshmen really don't contribute at important positions. And that's why the positions are important, right? Just because it's hard to have an impact player there.
Mm-hmm.
So
it really sucks that Leonard Taylor will not be there for spring.
Yeah.
I think he's the kind of guy that would I really wish we had more guys.
Well, and remember, even in high school, he's a little bit undersized. I mean, his talent more than made up for it. But he was, what, 240 pounds his senior year in high school? Oh, so
He got up to, like, 300.
Okay. Yeah, well, then I guess that changes things, but.
No, he was a big boy. And he's a guy that I think can contribute maybe, like, as the year goes on. But, like, game one, I don't see him, like, making an impact. I think Nesta showed a lot last year. I think he was obviously, you know, it was his best year.
Yeah.
By far at Miami, he was healthy the whole season. And so I expect him to anchor down that defensive line. Harrison Hunt is a guy who you and I are both very high on. He flashed, you know, really good signs last year as a pass rusher. John Ford, he's decent.
Yep.
I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say he's going to be huge for this defense. He's a decent average defensive tackle.
He's a perfectly capable rotation defensive tackle.
Exactly. He's not going to take over a game like a Gerald Willis or anything like that. But my two starters, I got Nesta And I'm honestly going to say John Ford as the other defensive tackle, and then you put in Hunt as a as kind of the 1B, 1C kind of a guy who can be in there for pass rushing situations. And then I have Elijah Roberts as the other backup. What about you?
I think, dude, honestly, if Harrison Hunt can't grab a starting spot this year, I think our defensive line's in trouble. So I'm going to predict Harrison Hunt wins a starting job in camp. Because, man, I'm worried if he doesn't, man. He's kind of the guy that I think is the X factor for this line.
This is his year to really prove himself.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, then what is our defensive line? It's not elite. I don't even know if it's like, I don't even know if it's great. You know, it might be average or above average if Harrison Hunt isn't playing at a high level this year.
Yeah, the defensive line, man, like, they always seem to, I'd say, overperform.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's question marks, and I love Simpson, yeah. But I think next year is when our defensive line is going to be even better, in my opinion. But that's just
agreed. Well, okay. Well, think of it this way, though, dude. Is if Jared Harrison Hunt, you know, does not show out this year, then that means Nesta is probably the best player on our defensive line. And
yeah, I already think he is.
Yeah, but I mean, then how could we possibly think that we're going to have an elite line? You know, like
yeah,
Nesta has good moments. I mean, I don't. But he's never shown himself to be, you know, in consideration for like. He's not going to be a guy that's highly drafted. He's not going to be first team all ACC. I mean, you know, of course that could change this year. You know, it's not like his career path's already set in stone. I'm just going off of past experience.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I get that. Okay. Going on to the linebackers and strikers. Avery Huff has moved to striker. Zach McLeod obviously is at DN, but we still have Bradley Jennings who's back. Corey Flagg is going to be back for his sophomore year. A lot of people excited about him. Those are the middle linebackers. You also have Deshaun Troutman as well. Weak side linebacker, you got Sam Brooks, Austin Cave, and also Wayne Manstead. And then striker, you got our boy Gilbert Frierson, Keontre Smith, and Avery Huff. So linebackers, we will have Patke and Manny coaching them, and then Ishmael coaching the strikers. Linebackers last year, huge disappointment, I'd say.
Yeah.
Slow. I mean, if you watch the tape, they weren't the quickest bunch.
No.
They were not fast. You talk about the linebackers. How are you feeling about them? I know you and I are both probably a little concerned about that position group.
Yeah.
Make a difference to you that Manny is going to be helping out a lot more?
No, it doesn't make a difference at all. I view the linebacker situation is almost identical. It's going to – the best thing that happened to our linebacker situation this offseason is that Corey Flagg got a year older. But that's about the only good thing that happened. So, I don't know, man. I just don't have expectations that are much higher than how they performed last year.
Yeah. Here's the thing about linebackers. Okay, I'll start off with the middles. Bradley Jennings, I'm not confident in him. I think he's okay. I think he would be maybe a better defensive end, just like McLeod. He just doesn't have the speed. Honestly, he's a really good tackler. You know, he can thump people. He can bring the wood, but when it comes to covering sideline to sidelines, you know, getting running backs in the flats, you're going to want a guy like Corey Flagg. Do you think Corey Flagg, do you think the hype around him is real?
I do, but I don't think we're going to see all of Corey Flagg this year. You know, I mean, he's only a sophomore, right? So I don't think he's going to turn in an all ACC performance, but I do think that by the end of his career, he could be at that level.
Yeah, I'm the same. He's a very, very smart football player. His football IQ is great. I mean, he's going to be leading this defense in a year or two, and that excites me a lot.
Agreed.
So I think he'll start at middle linebacker. he was the starter as the year ended last year. And so,
yeah,
can you tie that down?
I think by quite a bit, he's our best linebacker. And that is, I mean, that's good, but it's also not good, right? Because he's a sophomore and I don't know, like he's just, I'm not expecting him to be a world beater just yet, you know, and I really like his potential, but let's be real about it. He's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I know, but he's definitely a guy to be excited about.
For sure.
Okay, weak side, Sam Brooks. He only had 37 tackles last year. He had injuries. I've always really liked Sam Brooks. I think that he has so much potential. Is he a junior or is he a redshirt sophomore?
I think he's a junior this year, man.
I think he's a junior. And so, I mean, the clock is ticking there. Like this, it's time for him to, you know, turn the switch. You know, last year, he's fast as hell for a linebacker. I think he's really, really athletic. The kind of linebacker that you want to have on your defense, just the production has to meet those qualifications and you know, meet everything. Behind him, Tyreek Austin-Cave, redshirt freshman. He's a guy that I'm excited about, too. He was in the same class as Corey Flagg. Yep. I don't think we'll see him pop as much. Wayman Steed, he's faster than people think. I think him and Cave are – I think Steed is probably a little bit higher than him. Just in terms of – I don't know, man. This is where I – him, Wayman, what do you think about those three?
So Brooks, I'm kind of in prove it mode with Brooks. You know, where I was with Nesta last year is like, there's no doubt that he's talented. You know, he's athletic, he's big. He has all of the measurables and, you know, on paper, he sounds great. But you know, like I need a little bit more production. I need better on the field visuals before I'm ready to like throw a birthday party for him, you know, or whatever. You know, so I have a hard time being excited about Brooks. I think the potential's there for him to have a good season, you know, because he has all the physical tools that you're looking for. But, you know, I'm just not going to get excited about guys that haven't proven much. So okay, That's how I feel about Brooks. And then when it comes to Steed and Austin Cave, I feel like they could be solid rotation guys, solid backups, you know, but I don't know. Austin Cave is a guy that I like for the future. I'm not down on him as a prospect. It's more of just like, you just need to be patient with these younger guys. So, you know, I could very easily see Austin Cave and Corey Flagg as our starters in 2 years and both being very good.
Yeah, I'm very excited about, obviously, Corey Flagg. Austin Cave is a guy that I really liked coming out of New Jersey. The dude is like a tackling machine.
Yep.
So he's a guy to watch. I think Sam Brooks will start, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you. It's kind of – he's in the show me stage.
Yep.
Like I keep hearing about Sam Brooks, and I've just heard so much about him, you know, coming out of Northwestern. Well, and I really like him as a player. The only so, can he stay healthy and can he produce?
So here's the thing is, you know, we had a number of show me guys on the defense last year, three that stand out to me, and it was Gervin Hall, Nesta Silvera, and who was the other one? Who was the other one? It was, Mark Pope. He's not on defense, but that was kind of our three show me guys. And I mean, look, how did they perform, right? There are three guys that everyone got very, very excited about in the offseason. And we kind of took the attitude of like, we'll see how it goes. And we ended up being right on all three of those guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want correct predictions, you know what podcast to listen to.
Yeah. And so, you know, hopefully we get proven wrong, right? It's like, I don't think either of us are in the business of wanting to be correct over having the Hurricanes be good. You know, but there's some credence in not being overly excited about guys that have yet to prove stuff.
I mean, it's just being rational.
Yeah, and that's our fan base struggles, man. And to be fair, probably most fan bases do, but like as Canes fans, a lot of times and a lot of situations we struggle to be rational.
Yeah, just a little bit. Okay, striker. I think you and I both agree that Gilbert Frierson is a beast. He's got that spot pretty secure.
Best player on our defense, man.
I love Gilbert Frierson. I think I've been a fan of him for a long time now. He was my breakout player last year on defense. I think he is just going to continue to get better. Yeah. I think he is a star in the making, and I really like Keontre Smith too. I think we are in really good hands at striker. Then you got Avery Huff. Do you see Huff getting much playing time at striker?
I don't. Maybe there's something going on with Keontre Smith that we don't know. Because I did think it was a little weird to move Huff, who was probably in line to get some burn at linebacker, to move him positions. I thought that was a little strange. But I mean, if Smith and Frierson are fully healthy, I don't see Huff getting a lot of burn. It's hard to have three guys for one position, right? And to work all of them in.
Yeah, I was a fan of Huff at linebacker, so I was kind of confused at that move.
Yeah.
Because I thought that he could really challenge for a starting position this year, but I think he's better in pass coverage than Bradley Jennings. But we'll see, man. We'll see. But yeah, striker. Yeah, but then as far as linebackers go, I got Sam Brooks and Corey Flagg starting.
Okay. I think you're going to see Bradley Jennings and Corey Flagg in week one.
Okay. What about no? Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
Well, so I have a question for you, though. Do you think Gilbert Frierson's the best player on our defense?
That's a good question. I think it's between him and Bubba Bolden.
Yeah.
I think I would honestly probably give the nod to Bubba.
Okay.
Just because Bubba can probably do a little bit more in terms of coverage.
Yeah.
But they're both really good tacklers. Gilbert is a really good tackler. And so, yeah, I think we'll see. I think Gilbert can make that push. I also think Bubba is going to make a giant leap this year.
I agree that they're the two best, but I'm leaning toward Frierson a little bit right now, but I agree with you. They're the two best players on defense for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Cornerback. Oh God. Cornerback. Okay.
Jalen Harrell moved there.
Jalen Harrell moved there, which was all in my opinion, we should have had Harrell move to striker, Huff stay at linebacker.
Yeah.
Harrell's a bigger guy, and I honestly don't know what his speed is like. So, like I said, I'm a little rusty with this, but Harrell moving to cornerback, do you think that's just a numbers game? Like we just don't have enough corners?
I do. I think it's a numbers game. I think it's the fact that we brought in, Avante Williams is now cleared at safety. We brought in Cam Kitchens. We brought in James Williams. And so they're probably looking at Jalen Harrell from a roster management spot and said he might be talented, but he's now the, sixth most talented safety we have on the roster. Yeah. And so it's time to move him somewhere. And cornerback needed it more than anything else. So, I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what I would guess what happened.
Okay. Well, so looking at cornerbacks, DJ Ivy is back. Tecori Couch is back. We have Marcus Clark. We also have Tyreek Stevenson, so that's great.
Yep.
Al Blades Jr., we are not – I don't know whether or not he has been cleared for spring ball. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not. I was going to ask that same question.
Okay, he blocked me on Twitter, so I can't say anything.
You should stop being so negative, Marsh.
Yeah, damn me. Even though I'm a huge Blades guy. I love Blades.
Yeah.
So it's puzzling.
We're the most negative podcast in the world, though.
Our cornerbacks last year, we all remember the infamous UAB game where you and I watched from my basement and DJ Ivy just got cooked.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Oh, man, I wish I could have taken a picture of your reactions to those plays.
Yeah. And then also, do you remember the play with what was Williams' name, the kid that transferred out?
Christian
Williams. When do you remember when he wasn't even on the screen and his guy caught like a 10-yard stop route and I was trying to convince you that Williams was playing man coverage on that play? Do you remember that? I was like, no, I swear that was Williams' guy as man coverage and he's not even on the screen.
Oh, that was good times. Okay. Cornerbacks, okay. We got DVD coaching them, and obviously T Rob is going to help out at cornerbacks. With the coaching change, how are you feeling about that group?
Dude, it's very strange to me that the University of Miami has two first-time coaches on its defensive staff.
Yes, it is very – it's very – Toast is the same way. He thinks it's outrageous.
You know, it is kind of outrageous. And – I don't know. I don't want to like crap on guys before they get their chance. I will just say, like, it's a bold move, Manny Diaz, you know?
Yeah,
especially,
man.
Especially in a year where you're willing to trade all your, you know, future scholarships to win now. It's kind of weird to put two guys that have never really done this before.
Well, let me ask you this. Does T-Rob helping out, does that make you a little bit more comfortable?
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, I mean the cornerback.
You know, if it was Jarcus Van Dyke, I would feel a lot better.
Yeah, I think DVD is going to do great, or not great, but I think he's going to do really good. I honestly think our cornerbacks are going to be better than last year, and obviously part of that has to do with Tyreek Stevenson, You know, coming in. I think he is going to be a day one starter. I really, really think he is a fantastic football player and has a really bright future ahead of him.
Yep.
And then at the slot position, you have Tecori Couch. And I think that he has pretty much solidified his role as probably the best cover corner on this team. Yeah. He had a good year last year. Al Blades, like we said, we don't know whether or not he is going to be there for spring ball. So he's kind of a question mark. But then you got DJ Ivy. And so
Ivy had a very up and down year.
He had a very up and down year. He's had a very up and down career, man.
Yeah, you know, because he had the rough week one, and then he really bounced back. But then I felt like he faded towards the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the same goes for the year prior too. He got suspended for weed, and then he got cooked against UNC, and then like he had the infamous fake punt mishap against Georgia Tech. Oh, God, that was bad. But then he rebounded and had a really strong end to the year. And then last year, like, yeah, just like you said, I mean, he was strong in certain games. I think he had the game-winning interception against NC State. I mean, that was after they gave up 41 points. But,
yeah.
DJ Ivy, man, we just need more consistency. And it's the same thing with Mark Pope and D. Wiggins. Like, this is your last year to prove yourself. Like, this is it. Yeah. Like, this is your last year as a Miami Hurricane, which is crazy to me.
It is weird, man. It's, I don't know. I feel like the Tyreek Stevenson thing was a hell of a Band-Aid to put on this position. You know, it definitely has me feeling a lot better, especially because there's potential that he could be here for multiple years, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he has like 2 or 3 years left.
Yeah, so... You know, I feel quite a bit better. You know, if you're looking at potentially Al Blades as your fourth corner, or even, you know, say DJ Ivy's your fourth corner, I feel good about that, dude. That's fine. After that, it gets a little scary. We need to pump the numbers up a little bit in the recruiting department.
Especially since we didn't recruit a single cornerback this past year.
Dude, that is the biggest freaking head-scratcher.
Well, I mean, we have Malik Curtis. And he is an early enrollee, but he's so much better as a wide receiver.
He should be a wide receiver.
He really should be. I think he's going to start at kick return as
Yeah, I mean, even if he's just a specialist, like, you know, we've seen what a dynamic specialist can do. If any team program should know that, it's the University of Miami.
Well, so, since last year, because we couldn't catch a goddamn punt.
Yeah.
Oh, that was frustrating.
Yeah.
But, do you remember when, at my house, watching the game, remember when Pope fumbled the punt?
Yeah,
I do. That was, we both just looked at each other. I'm like, oh my God.
A piece of my soul died that day.
Even though we won.
Yeah.
But yeah, cornerbacks, I'm honestly feeling comfortable. I think Tyreek starts, Couch in the slot, and I'm going to say... are you thinking Al Blades or DJ Ivy?
I'm going to go with Ivy to start the season. Just because of the, you know, being unsure about what Blades is going through. Because, I mean, even if he gets cleared, is he in shape? You know, is all this stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, besides them, I mean, you have Isaiah Dunson and Marcus Clark, but, I mean, they haven't played much, so that's frightening. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, we have one more position group, and then I'll ask you this question, but I have a question for you.
Okay. All right, last position group, we have safeties. Yay! I guess cornerbacks, Avante.
That's where it gets interesting, man.
So
because
he is going to play cornerback, correct?
I have no idea.
I think he is.
Is he really? Because that would be incredible.
Yeah.
If he plays corner, then that kind of changes the whole future of that position group.
Yeah, I think Avante is going to play corner.
He should, honestly, because you got James Williams and Cam Kitchens. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to put Avante at cornerback, and I think he is going to be the guy behind Tecori Couch at slot.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll get in. We'll talk more about that when we actually know what position he's playing.
Okay,
safety. Gervin Hall is back. Yay. Amari Carter is back. Yay. And then Bubba Bolden is back. Yay.
That's good.
That's very good.
Yeah. Amari Carter's back? Yeah, he's back. Oh my gosh.
Well, he's not a big social media guy, and so we were really like fully new, but yeah, Manny said that Amari Carter is back. And so I think one of the safety positions is pretty much clear. You got Bubba Bolden. I think he is about to take an even bigger step, especially with Travaris Robinson coaching the defense. And especially the safeties. Bubba Bolden now has an actual safeties coach coaching him up, and he did phenomenal, or he did pretty good with Jonathan Packey coaching, Ephraim Banda coaching the safety. So I think Bubba, you know, his spot is safe. I think Gervin Hall starts at the other spot, but I'm not very confident in Gervin Hall. I think we have seen what he is.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, man, because he had so much potential, and he just hasn't really lived up to it yet.
No, he has not. Yeah, that's another head-scratcher, man. It's very, very disappointing, because Cam Underwood, my boss at State of the U, he talked up Gervin Hall like he was the second coming of Sean Taylor. And so, and I was so excited, and we just haven't seen it. Like, we just... Last year, he just kind of struggled in coverage, and we just haven't seen that big play guy.
Yeah.
And then you have Amari Carter, who...
He will play one half of every single game because of targeting penalties.
We'll have him for about 10 minutes a game.
Yep.
So that's good.
Once these sponsorships kick in, though, I'm sure there's a certain retail franchise that will have him in their sights.
Amari. So, yeah, those two, I think Brian Ballum can make a case to play even more than Amari. But then you have – so Cameron Kinch is,
Cameron Kitchens is on campus, so that is good. You also have Keyshawn Washington as well. I think Kitchens, I don't think we see much of him this year, honestly, and that's fine with me. You know, I it's hard to play these true freshmen because if they do anything as true freshmen, then the expectations for them in year two is, like, overly high.
Yeah.
So that's hard. I'm excited to see what Cam Kitchens does in spring because he was one of my favorite players in this past class. Great. Sure. Keyshawn Washington is a guy that some people are high on. We don't really know much about him. He's kind of been thrown to the side because of the high-profile recruits we've brought in at safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same goes for Brian Ballum. But safeties, we're good with Bubba. The other part of the safeties, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's unfortunate. Like, Gervin Hall should be really solid, but you just don't know, man. Like, we keep expecting him to raise his game, and it hasn't really happened. So, but I get what you're saying. I do think James Williams is the type of guy that could be an impact player on occasion. He needs to put on weight, and I think that could hold him back. But, like, to me, he's a guy that just, like, was born for the game of football. You know, he's everywhere on the field. He understands the mental side of it. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him get some snaps at safety.
And he's another guy that's not here for spring, and that sucks.
It does suck.
That breaks my heart because I want to see what his impact would be like spring day one.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the depth chart again when fall camp rolls around.
Yeah. And,
all those guys are on campus, but okay, that's the defense, man. What we had some questions come in on Twitter, but I know you had a question. So what's up?
Do you think our defense is better than last year?
Do I think our defense is better than last year?
Yeah.
No, just because you don't have that same impact from a Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche.
Yeah, I think, you know, the only upside I see to this defense is Manny Diaz calling plays.
I think for that reason alone, I think we will actually have better defensive stats. But, like, yeah, looking in, like, right now in March, it's hard to say that this defense will be better than last year. And Bubba's a year older, and you have Tyreek Stevenson. But you just have a bigger question mark, a defensive line, and also a linebacker. You have more question marks this year than you did last year.
Yeah, I think if anything, if our defense is better, I think it'll be marginally better. But I also think there's a chance that we see some regression on defense. So, you know, it's I think we took for granted a little bit that for 2 years in a row we had an A+ defensive line. And now this year the defensive line is going to be like a B-.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's too early to give that definitively, right? But last 2 years, it was an A+, and it's not that this year. I will be so shocked if we have another A+ year of defensive line play, because it just does not make sense for that to happen on paper. So, I mean, I think the likelihood is that you have a B season, and that's a big drop off.
It is.
A letter and a half. I mean, that's going from a B to a D+.
Absolutely. Ugh. Yeah, it's frustrating. Okay, what do you say we answer a few questions?
Let's do it.
Okay.
You got them pulled up, or should I get them?
I got them. Cool. Okay, first one. Duck asked who is going to be middle linebacker. I think it's going to be Corey Flagg.
Should be.
Jonathan Buckle. Good guy. He says, how does the defensive end position look after losing possibly 3 first-round picks? Well, we've kind of covered that. It's a question mark. We have a possible up-and-comer in Jafari Harvey. we have a converted linebacker in Zach McLeod. And then you got, you know, DeAndre Johnson, who if he can get 5 or 6 sacks, I think that would be very, like, that would exceed my expectations. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I think that'd be really good. So defensive end, that's a, like we said, that's a question mark, man. That's a question mark. Our boy AB, he says, besides Bolden and Frierson, who do you expect, not hope, to make a big impact this season? As this is probably Manny's most unproven defense during his tenure, what expectations do you have for us this season? So let's answer the impact question first. Who do you got?
Are we going like surprise impact or just overall impact?
I think overall, man.
Okay, then I'm gonna go Gil Frierson. I think.
Whoa, wait, hold on. He says besides Bolden and Frierson.
Okay, I got you. Then I'll go Jared Harrison Hunt.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so much of our defense will rely on his ability to have a big year.
Okay. I am. To go with, I'm going with Nesta.
Okay.
I think he showed us a lot last year that he can put together a solid season. And the fact that Jess Simpson is there makes me believe that we are finally going to see, in his final year at Miami, we are finally going to see the Nesta that we all thought we would see.
Ooh, that's big.
That is big. Sorry, I'm choking.
Don't die.
Yes, I think this is finally the year that we see the Nesta Silvera that we at all hope for.
Well, that could change a lot, dude. I mean, that could change a lot of things in terms of, you know, us predicting that the defense isn't going to be great. If Nesta has a huge year, then that changes the fortunes of this team big time.
Absolutely. The clock is, like, the clock's out. For Nesta, like, it's time to perform, man. Like, the time is now. Expectations on defense for this season. What do you think?
You know, as we said earlier, I think it's about the same, if not marginally better than last year.
I'd agree. I think having Ishmael and DVD could make things a little sketchy early on in the season.
Yep.
You know, Alabama's Alabama. I'm very much looking forward to how not just our defense, but our team looks the 2 weeks after against App State and Michigan State. You know, two opponents that a lot of people are overlooking. And two teams that a lot of people are overlooking. But I think that they could give us a lot more fight than people think.
Yeah. You know, I think that those two games will set the tone for the year. And honestly, you know, a hiccup in that area could be a very bad omen for the Manny Diaz era in, you know, in Coral Gables.
Yes. You have to not just win those two games, but you have to win those two games convincingly.
Yeah.
And then the UNC game, man. We all know how Manny's defense has fared against the Tar Heels since he became head coach.
Yeah, horribly.
Sam Howell is 2-0 against us, and
Mac Daddy.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah,
it's so sad that he has owned Manny Diaz this year.
Yep.
Or not this year, but like since Manny became coach, he has owned him.
Yeah, he is Manny's father. He is the mayor, the current mayor of Miami.
Yeah, Mac Brown is the mayor of Miami.
Right now he is.
He is. Okay, last question from Judge Juno. He says, give us two players you think – oh, boy. Give us two players you think will transfer after spring offense and defense. He says, I think Jalar Holly and Daz Worsham.
Interesting. I could see the Daz Worsham one. Yeah. You know, there was some, I don't know if it was message board stuff or if it was like a legitimate report, but I think his freshman year got off to a rocky start, you know, and there's just so much talent coming in behind him that wouldn't surprise me. And then on defense, I don't know, man. It wouldn't surprise me if a linebacker who's kind of buried in the depth chart, because the problem is when you get a position group when there's not a lot of production and you're buried in the depth chart at a position where there's not a lot of production, you kind of just need a change of scenery, you know?
Yeah. I think I could see maybe one of the safeties.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, we just talked about Keyshawn Washington and Brian Balaam. Like, that one of those guys could definitely be thinking about it. Or, I mean, even Amari Carter, man.
Well,
would that shock you?
I guess he could transfer and play immediately, but
yeah,
he's put in so much time at Miami. I don't see him transferring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all hypothetical.
And this is a hard question to answer because we don't want anyone to transfer.
Yeah.
Agreed. Like we're not saying that we want these guys to transfer. We're just answering the question.
For sure, it's just hypothetical. We don't, you know, it's not like I'm saying that. You know, it's not like Manny Diaz is texting me telling me that. You know.
Yeah, we don't text with Manny anymore.
Not anymore, yeah. After the incident. I'm just kidding.
After the storm.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wait, you're not a fan of The Office, right?
I've seen it all. I'm not a hardcore fan of The Office, but I've seen the whole series like 2 or 3 times. So,
like, do you remember when Pam and Jim are staying with Dwight at Schrute Farms?
Yes.
And Dwight is, like, moaning in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Jim goes and says, Dwight, were you having it? Or Dwight was like, he thinks it's Moe's. And Jim's at the door, and Dwight was like, are you having another nightmare? And Dwight was like, oh, I thought you were Moe's. And Jim's like, does Moe's get nightmares? And Dwight's like, oh, yes, ever since the storm. So, yeah, us and Manny haven't texted since the storm. The storm, exactly. The UNC game. Yeah. Oh, that's what I just saw on Peacock.
What?
We're getting Sarah Marshall.
Ooh.
So good.
That's a great film.
That's so good. Oh, it looks like you got some pain behind those eyes.
P-P-O-P. I mean, we went to Hawaii on our honeymoon. I mean, you knew that. But I made my wife call me P-P-O-P.
just have her call you Kunu.
Yeah, Kunu.
That's just your Hawaiian name. You know what's good for that? Weed.
Oh, man.
It's so Jason Segel's so underrated, and so is Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Like, Paul Rudd, I think, is so underrated.
Dude, he's hilarious.
He's so funny. Like, in Knocked Up?
Yeah.
Like that one?
I do.
I think he's really, like, when his wife thinks that he's cheating on her and he's really just had a fantasy baseball
draft. Yeah. Which is totally a Paul Rudd thing.
It's, and he's like a huge Orioles fan too, like in real life. So it's just funny.
Dude, I love him in I Love You, Man. That's one of my favorite movies.
I have not seen it.
Oh, dude, he's so good in that because he plays a very effeminate guy. Who's just so, like, cripplingly socially awkward. And, you know, Jason Segel is kind of like the opposite, where he's just, like, super smooth, super cool, doesn't have a care in the world. And they just have the funniest friendship because Paul Rudd is always making himself look like an idiot. And it's wonderful, man. Yeah. Highly recommended.
Ugh, I miss just talking about movies with you.
Yeah.
We have very similar movie taste.
Yeah. Put on I Love You, Man as soon as you are able, and dude, it'll be a great night for you. I can promise you that.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else?
Do you think we're better this year? Like, are we a better football team? Are we gonna, you know, what's it gonna look like?
I said 8-4. I kind of want to move my prediction to 9-3.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
No, No, I don't think so. Because I'm
officially moving my prediction because I do this every year. I can't decide on my prediction. It's either one thing or the other.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards. Man, I really want to say 10-2.
Oh God.
But the thing is though is like, we could be the same team as last year and finish 10-2, because our schedule's so easy. You know,
it is so bloody easy.
Yeah, if we get stomped by Bama and then we get stomped by UNC and then take care of all the other games, we're 10-2.
Yeah. And how happy would we be? How happy would this podcast be? We're already happy. I mean, look at us. We're happy. How much happier would we be if we were 10-2?
Dude, people would hate me if that's what happened. If we get stomped by Bama and then we get stomped by UNC and we go 10-2, people would hate me because I'd just be there like, yeah, we're mediocre again. Like, you know, we played two good teams. We got stomped by both of them. That means that we're the good, bad team of college football. You know, we're the best team that isn't that great.
Hey, you know what? That's a start.
But that's what we did last year, you know? Like, we were the best team that wasn't very good last year. So, I would like to see some progress, and I'd like us to beat UNC. That to me is going to say, like, above all else, beating UNC is progress. Beating good teams. I would rather go 10-2, lose to Alabama, and then trip up to any team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if we lose to Appalachian State. If we beat UNC and they're a good team and we just show that we can beat a good team, I'd take that all day.
Could you imagine if we lost to Bama and then lost to App State and started 0-2?
That'd be horrible.
Could you imagine? Dude, I can't imagine the hellfire and brimstone that would come upon Manny Diaz.
He might get fired if that happens.
Oh, could you, like, the guys that, like, just committed, like, the James Williams and the Leonard Taylors, oh, they're thinking just, like, what the hell?
Yeah, what did I do?
Miami, TNM, what the hell?
Yeah.
WTF. If we go to Charlotte, would you go?
Yeah,
Should
we? Well, it depends, dude. Like, it depends on what Clemson looks like. Because, like, last year, I mean, I got invited, and I definitely would have gone. You know, it was a good friend invited me with tickets, and so I was going to go last year. But I'd have a hard time going against a team that looks dominant. But if Clemson's tickets...
Someone got me, like, someone said, hey, I got two tickets. Was it AB?
It wasn't AB that invited me.
No, I think AB invited, or... I don't know who invited me, but yeah, we were both going to go, and we would have gone if Notre Dame wasn't in the ACC.
Yeah.
And
we got screwed. Imagine
if we had played Clemson again.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
Yeah. That would have been real bad.
Yeah. Maybe
we should go to the UNC game.
Yeah. I mean, my problem is, though, is like, do I want to spend $1,000 to fly down there, pay for food, pay for board, pay for everything, and then just have my heart ripped out of my chest?
It would be fun memories, you and me, you and I.
It would be fun memories.
I taken on Chapel Hill.
It'd be painful memories.
You'd have to carry me out because I'm so drunk and just heartbroken.
Yeah.
Crying on your shoulder.
I'll hold your hair while you puke in the toilet.
We lost again. That's why he's upset.
Yeah. Right.
Tar Heels. Okay. Well, next week. Okay. Also, what do you say next week? Like, because we're going to start doing these two shows a week. Uh-huh. What do you say? And I know we've talked about this. What do you say one of the shows a week when we don't have guests, we do live broadcast?
I'd be down for that. That sounds fun.
Do you know how to make that work?
I think I do.
Okay. I'd like StreamYard, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, people, if you're listening to this and you think that is a good or very stupid idea, please tell us on Twitter.
I'll tweet it out.
If you hate it, let us know. If you like it,
hate it and don't want to see our faces.
Yeah.
Then go to hell, respectfully.
With love.
With love, go to hell. But also, decision respected.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. All right. Well, yeah, I want to do that. I think that'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Okay. Well, let's plan on doing that in the next week or two. Next week, we'll actually have football to talk about.
That's what's up.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And anything else?
No, man. That's it.
All right. Great episode. It's good to be back. And as always, have a great weekend. We love you guys. And go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like and leave a comment to help our podcast grow.